This podcast is brought to you by Voice of Vets. Voice of Vets. Hear it. Feel 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 it.
Today on the COVID Report, we are joined by SWET, the Sex Worker Education and Advocacy Task Force, their advocacy officer, Kholiswa Tiki, to tell us more on how the pandemic has affected sex workers. And alongside her, we are joined by Sis Duduzile Dlamini, their advocacy manager, to share with us how their work has changed due to the pandemic. Thank you both of you for joining us here on the COVID Report. And firstly, could you tell us more about your role as an advocacy officer for SWET?
Thank you so much. As you introduced me, as Duduzile Dlamini, I'm an advocacy manager at SWET and a national office in Cape Town. My role here at SWET, I am working direct with sex workers, and what we're doing, we're advocating for the full decriminalization of sex work in South Africa. But we're leading the organization as sex workers to advocate, but also empowering the sex workers to have a confidence to identify themselves as sex workers, but also raising their issues by themselves, but also to lobby the parliamentarian to support full decriminalization of sex work. The part of the advocacy that we're doing is we collect all the data and the information and the research to use for lobbying. So my role, as I am also a sex worker, I use also my experience to build the strategy of working on advocating for full decriminalization of sex work.
And Sis Kholiswa, what do you do at SWET?
Oh, okay. My work is on a junior level. Sis Dudu, as she has mentioned, I work mainly in documenting human rights here in the Eastern Cape, because the SWET is spreading amongst all provinces and districts. So my work is to document human rights violations, and also, as Mrs. Studio has mentioned, a lobby for law enforcement institutions, also other sex chapter 9 institutions like CGE and Human Rights Commission, institutions of higher learning. So my work is mainly about lobbying and documentation of human rights, because, as you know, from province to province, struggles are not the same. So here in East London, it's mainly a rural metro, so we have challenges of first massaging communities and understanding the issues of sex workers. So yeah, that's the work I do on the ground, and also, yeah, the media and other stakeholders.
So both of you do incredibly important work. But firstly, Sis Dudu, can we clarify on why do you think that sex work should be legalized, and how far have you engaged the government in terms of legalizing it?
I would start by correcting the term of using now for a model to call it legalization. Actually, we are not for advocating for the legalization. I'm fully behind on that, and saying that SWET and Sisonke, the movement of sex workers who are running by sex workers for sex workers by themselves, we are not using a lot of energy to advocate for that. But our belief as sex workers, but also the movement and the organization, we believe on full decriminalization of sex work. That's why we're calling for the full decriminalization of sex work. It's only model that can make sex workers exercise fully rights and also recognize as human, also recognized by laws of South Africa. Those laws that criminalize sex workers need to be removed, and then they decriminalize and sex workers will be recognized as workers in South Africa. So we're really advocating for full decriminalization of sex work. So I'm going to share with you that the importance of decriminalization. Now we're living under criminalization in South Africa, whereby sex workers, they're getting arrested, they're harassed by the police, they're getting killed, they're experiencing gender-based violence, and they die, and all those cases are not prosecuted. But also sex workers, they're not accessing health services with dignity, with respect, but also they do not even taking serious when they go into police station and report cases such as rape, because they are not recognized as human. Specific, like special, like when I'm sharing the cases of the 6 cases that we were having now during the lockdown, those cases are still not even go to court. They are still pending. They're still sitting in the police stations. There is no one, there is no perpetrator who's been arrested. There is a lot that are happening, the stigma and discrimination against sex workers from the communities and not being respected. But the fact that criminalization is taking a lot of energy of sex workers, taking a lot of power, taking agents of sex workers, and the fact that also we're living under a country that is progressive in terms of democracy. So all those things where we all sex workers are experiencing these things, if we have decriminalization, sex workers, they will be recognized as workers in South Africa, means that the labor laws, they will be able to exercise. So that's why we are advocating for the full decriminalization of sex work. But for now, and to explain about how far we've been at Sweat and Sisonge advocating for the full decriminalization for 20 years, but not yet. We're not yet even moving forward in terms of we're just moving forward and then turn back step. What? Because of the elections, sometimes they're changing and changing, but take us back and going forward. But now, at the moment, we are still believe on 2014, since NSP comes out and say, mention that the decriminalization of sex, that they will be looking at government, they will be looking it in their strategy that on 2024. But we still have the question that from now to 2024, what are the risks? What are the prevention? What are the support that will be put in place so that we're waiting for 2024? What are the support that we're going to get from the government? Is still we're waiting for 2024. It seems like 2024 is still far from us, because we've been advocating for full decriminalization since 20 years. But I think that it seems not fair, because when you're looking at the abortion was decriminalized, when you look at the ganja was like decriminalized, I think 2 years back or 1 year back, but what is the problem with sex work? What is holding government to decriminalize? That is my question. But the fact that when you're looking at the gender-based violence, it's happening daily basis. Every day also sex workers, they experience gender-based violence. Also sex workers, it's emergent. If they're talking about prevention, what about sex workers? That is the question. And when you're looking at NSP saying 2024,
thank you very much for that, Sis Dudu. As my next question, I'd like to throw this at both you, Sis Dudu, as well as Wena, Sis Koliswa. As far as the mechanics of sex work during the height of the pandemic, where we are told to social distance, where we are told to sanitize, we are told to wear masks, in what ways has the work of sex workers been impacted by this pandemic? So if you could possibly speak to that, Sis Koliswa. And to you, Sis Dudu, I ask, how does the title sex worker render them vulnerable to abuse by police and clients? And how can this hinder their access to justice in light of what you just alluded to as far as the low rate with which any cases of GBV that they report as sex workers aren't attended to with the urgency that you'd expect them to?
I will start from your question of what really affects sex workers during the COVID-19. The COVID-19 came to South Africa, that nightmare of this disaster, it came like to destroy sex workers. I will share more about what we've been getting from the sex workers by themselves, what their experience is, because we have a project that is running that's supported by Tekana, where we're collecting the stories about what they experience. And it shows that sex workers, since that it's academic, it's a pandemic that was affecting them, there was no income that they make during the COVID. And you know that the sanitizer, you have to spend money. The mask, you must buy it. You must spend money. The jigs and stuff, initials, all those things, they must use money to buy. But since that is COVID-19, sex workers, they didn't have a movement. They have to stay home. That means that it was not affecting them by themselves only. As from the beginning, you mentioned that sex workers, they're supporting 7 people more than in the family members. So that means that the money that stopped getting, and then that what was happening, the sex workers, who was renting, the landlord was chasing them out, the increase of the numbers of sex workers who are homeless, sex workers who didn't able to have food in their houses, the children of sex workers was affected by this COVID. There is a lot that was a disaster that was happening, but also the harassment from the police when there is a sex worker just walking down the street, they become a target from the police, and because they were thinking that they're going to work, but sometimes they're going to the shop. There is a lot that was happening, but also there was a sex workers who died during the COVID, and like we have a one case where a sex worker died in police station in Cape Town, Mowbray, but also those cases are still no one arrested. And the fact that the criminalization, sex workers, they do not able to go report the cases of such as rape and stuff, but they, in terms of calling for justice for the cases in South Africa, they not respond properly to sex workers, because it's not only sex workers cases are pending, but there is a lot of sex workers even before COVID-19. So if that we're looking at, we have the project called the campaign says hashtag say her name, where we're putting together all the sex workers who died and they never have been remembering, and they never have been the cases that taking forward. So, and in when we're talking about the justice, there is no at all a justice for sex workers before the COVID-19, and even during the COVID-19, we preparing to get to level 1, but still there is no justice for sex workers. I would say that, but the disaster of the COVID, it's taxing, it shows a lot and highlighting more the issues that we've been saying it's before the COVID-19, but during the COVID-19, it was more open eyes. I think also government can looking at that, how much the COVID affects sex workers, and maybe taking further steps in terms of looking at the decriminalization as an emergency need to be discussed and need to be done. But this COVID-19, affect only female sex workers, also affecting LGBTQI, affecting also transgender women, homeless sex workers. It's really a disaster for sex workers that they didn't even have received any of the budget that government was planning to give it to people who are workers and UIF. Also the money from SARS, but also the food parcel, there was what was really comes out for people. But sex workers, the most of sex workers, they didn't receive that. Besides that, SWET was created by themselves. The SWET creates a baker bodies that can support sex workers. People can donate to baker bodies. Those baker bodies donation we use to buy coupons to support sex workers. Even though the baker bodies was active, but the fact that it was small, sex workers, they support 7 and more family members. So the coupon was not taking them far. It's too much. It's very big community, sex workers, including LGBTI, including transgender women. So the baker bodies couldn't able to take them for whole of the academy, of the COVID, during the COVID. So, I can mention like that, that was a disaster, a huge disaster for sex workers where they don't receive any income.
I would like to mention also, as Usistudu has emphasized, that it's mainly female and the vulnerable community like LGBTI and migrant sex workers that are are strongly were violated and still are violated in this time of COVID and outside of COVID. So one has to wonder if this is also an attack on sex workers or a certain gender or a certain population, because there are male sex workers. You never heard any complaints and said about society and other members and other members maybe of the security cluster and say we have been having reports against male sex workers. Meaning it's gender bias crimes that I can say. So because they know that there's a vulnerability in this community, they are going to attack and defend this community. So I think the focus mainly is to also sensitize the community that sex worker is not only about the panty liner, and it's not about the kind of underwear that you wear. Sex worker is about every member of society that feels that these are the only means for me to survive. Okay, this is the way of creating means for me to survive and my family, me and my families. So in this COVID time, we've documented, as I've mentioned, that Eastern Cape is a very, in fact, the space that I'm working in is a very rural space. So we've been having such gruesome kind of people being gang raped by clients, and some were beaten and sent in their private parts, vaginas, by guns and stuff. So it's very hard to document these cases and work with people. And sometimes you've been sent from pillar to post, because I remember one moment when I went to report a case and the police people saw the person that I was coming to represent, and they said to me, we cannot take this case, we'd rather go to Cambridge. Meaning they do not have interest of documenting cases of sex workers, because police know them and they said know the spaces where they work, and so they know who the sex workers are. So they feel that they're not obliged to take any cases from sex workers. So we've had that situation where we had to, from night, the person was violated the previous evening, and now we have to go to the police station the following morning, because I got the case the following morning. And now from when I got to work from 9, it only got to be attended around about 7 o'clock. Remember, mind you, the person hasn't washed, is in pain, and this is still playing this ordeal in their mind. So the violence mainly that is projected, it's gender bias, not gender based. It's gender bias, because they know that women cannot walk freely to the police station and say, I was trying to make a living and somebody violated me. Like a nurse would go, like a teacher would go, like a journalist like you would go, because they know that this is being shamed. There's a shameful cloud hovering over sex work. These are the questions that we are always projecting to people that feel that they are playing a deputy Jesus role in people's lives. Because we've been also trying to lobby like serious organizations like UN Women, and we've been having like a backlash from them, where the director has been saying like things that are very like, I don't know how to describe this, but things that are very shameful, to say that she sees sex work as something that is indecent. Who decides in the center to be a deputy Jesus for other people's choices? You understand? So we have those problems that even people that are sitting in these higher positions are not even sensitized. Sex workers are providers. They are sending kids to school. They are grooming people in their families. They are even outside their families. They are creating like a livelihood for themselves and those around them. Because we have to be honest, South Africa has limited opportunities. The only opportunities that are available are for corruption. So we cannot only survive and ascend as people who want to marry a decent life. So yeah, that's a problem that we are having in these spaces.
Definitely an unjust plight, only made harder because of the pandemic and the conditions around the pandemic. Now, for those who do get to do the work, with social distancing measures in place, how have sex workers been impacted throughout the various levels of the lockdown and restrictions? And how do they maintain social distancing? Is it something that can even be done? And how do they keep the restrictions while conducting their work? Auskolisa, please do share more with us.
Unfortunately, with COVID, it has greatly disadvantaged sex workers because, of course, as you know, that you have to be in direct contact with your client in order for you to make money. But we've came up with a very creative tool, our advocacy strategies. We've been recommending some sort of positions that at least people, when they decide, because we've been advocating for people not to go outside and do work, but people have to leave. As Usisu has mentioned, that sex workers were sidelined when people were getting food parcels because of this discrimination attached to sex work. So we had to come up with creative ways of if one decides to go to work, this is at least the position you should consider so that you don't have direct contact. In a sense, and I'm sure this is an adult, so we're not going to be sharing this kind of, but there are means you've been creating so that at least if one decides to go to work, these are the considerable means of working under these circumstances. But we've been trying very hard to approach also organizations that can assist us, in a sense, like corporations that could assist us with means so that people can not feel the urge to go to work. If people need clothes for their kids, so we've been approaching those organizations and they're very willing and they are assisting them. And also for toiletries, they are fortunately for us in the Eastern Cape, we are very close to companies like Nestle, where they can offer things like formulas and stuff. So we've been trying to create those kind of relationships that at least give us something so that people in the sense do not spread this COVID, because people go outside because they are hungry. People go outside because they are no means, and you cannot, and as we have seen, we're living in contained spaces as people mainly who are involved in sex work. So people live and they see the frustration when kids, they're saying they are hungry and they have no means to just, I mean, feed their kids. So we've been like just bouncing our heads and saying people are hungry, how do we then make them relaxed and settled so that they do not feel the urge to go to work. I think Mrs. Sudu will elaborate more on that strategy of coming up with that pamphlet, though it's not far reaching to everyone, because as you know, not every sex worker has access to the means that we have. As an organization, we will rely on the mercy of funders and of donors, and sometimes the donations that we have are limited only on certain things or on certain areas of our work. So we just cannot be reaching to all those who are in the sex worker community. So it has been very difficult. It has been very, very, very stressful to encourage people to stay indoors, because we know that slavery is indoors. People are hungry inside their homes, so the only means to survive is to go outside.
Before you starting to asking another question, can I add my answers? As soon as we heard about the COVID-19 and what a government was planning to that everything is going to lock down. So what we did as a threat, we also met and come up with things that we want to do with sex workers, because we're not going to be able to hold the spaces. Normally we have spaces that we meet sex workers and facilitate the spaces and do. There's a lot of projects that have to stop, such as a home visitor. We need to stop this home visitor because this is this social distance. But also, it was also about the movement. So we started by organizing sex workers online. Then where we were, it's a check-in and a check-out and sharing the information around COVID-19 safety tips, and also sharing about the laws based on what need to be done, what we're not supposed to do. But we were not all the time, every day, by day, after we sharing the information, also the state what's going on about COVID-19, but also information around to catch up if the sex workers who come across that they didn't get their medication, but also working with our partners to make sure that sex workers are getting medication, but also they are really healthy and what their need is. So we were looking at all those technology that we can use to work with sex workers. But the fact that we were always encouraging sex workers not to go to work, and we were emphasizing the risk of that they can be affected by the COVID-19 and what is important for them not going to work. If they're going to work, they can be in high risk to get infected, and then they bring it home. If they love their families, we were encouraging them that they must stay at home. That's why we come up with Becker Buddies, where we get also a coupons to give it to sex workers. We didn't encourage at all. We will make sure that all the laws that they were putting for COVID-19 sex workers are followed, even it's how much hard. But we were encouraging them that do not break any regulations that putting there by government to say do not move, keep a distance, wearing mask. That's why we were asking from the partners and allies that they must donate, they must give us masks. We give them, but in 2 months, we couldn't able to meet sex workers directly, only online that we were doing it. So those are the things, and also creating the health and human rights for sex workers, COVID-19 safety tips, but using online and say sharing to each other down to the ground. Those are the things that we've done and to Sweat and Sisonke to make sure that sex workers, they are not out to do high risk. Yeah, that's what I want to make it clear. We will make sure that there is no regulations that they were putting down there and we break it, even though we carry on advocating in the platforms that was online to say we are very disappointed that government never even put sex workers in the plans, but we were working at home. Even Sweat office was closed totally. That's what I want to highlight, top of the answers that Kolisa was saying.
Thank you very much, Sis Dudu. That next question is coming up very nicely, but it comes on the back of something that you've mentioned now about the ways in which you have been talking to the sex workers that you work with and coaching them through living through this time of COVID-19. I'd like you to expand more on that a little bit in this process. It is very nice and as far as how you have advised your network on protecting themselves and their clients, particularly through this period of a COVID-19 lockdown. And being that this is a major health crisis all across the world that has required us to check our health regularly, I'd like to ask if healthcare access for sex workers has been made more difficult, especially over the course of this period, and especially as far as things like stigma and prejudice that sex workers already face. Has this made them and their access to healthcare facilities harder during this period, and how has this affected their overall health?
I don't want to lie. I have to stay in the reality. The COVID, it was not coming to improve anything. Instead, it was getting worse of all the issues that sex workers are facing. In terms of health, yes, it's affecting them a lot. But through our partnership and through our allies that they're working with us, they try to manage that sex workers are getting their medication. But there is places such as some of the places that sex workers need to take taxis to go and fetch their medication that affect a lot, that because there was no money to get take a taxis to the clinic. The way that clinic was full, some of the sex workers, they couldn't be staying long with their children to go to take their medication. So it affected them, but also the stigma and discrimination, it was very, very, very more because they don't have any income. So you don't have money and you don't have movement and you're hungry, but mentally it was also affecting them. They feel isolated. They feel like they are alone, but we're trying by all means that we put in place every system as much as we can to respond in sex workers' needs and issues, like such as the there is sex workers that they were still complaining, specific like we were dealing with sex workers who are homeless, whereby in Cape Town they remove sex workers who are homeless and force them to stay in Strandfontein, whereby in the Strandfontein there was a huge numbers and people who coming from the different and different gender and different, so they mix them up. They do not understand the situation of that where they putting them in sex workers. They calling daily basis and to say, "I, we don't wanna stay here. We wanna be removed." Yeah, and some of them they didn't move from the streets, and they're experiencing a violated by the metropolis, where metropolis trying to force them. I will share a little bit about the one of the sex workers comes out of that outcome of the removing of sex workers or who are staying in the streets. Ruben, she was a homeless sex worker, and she was a Lisbon, and she was arrested in Mowbray Thursday, and then she died on Sunday. But they arrested her and they put her in the cell without charging her and without even monitoring her there. And we still have questions. What happened to Ruben? Then she can die there during this lockdown, because the regulations that police were supposed to follow, they didn't follow, because they were supposed to arrest Ruben and charge Ruben. The following day, they must release, because the regulation, they were saying they must not keep people in the cells. How can Ruben can stay Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and Sunday? And then after that, they said the story that they're giving us is that Ruben was hanged herself. How come? Those are the questions. How did she get a knife to cut a blanket? What she used to hang herself? Those are the questions that was, those are the violations that was happening. Some of the sex workers in homeless sex workers in Barrow, whereby the police, they were taking them and make them do push-up. Women doing push-up in the rain, in the middle of the night. How much it's cold? We still have one sex worker that died the result of the raining, and they pull them everything, the t-shirt, and they doing push-up. That woman, she died, and she was diagnosed pneumonia. And the experience of this woman was chased by the landlord from where she was staying, because she not earning money during COVID-19. She not able to pay the rent. She stay outside. After that, the securities, they do what they want. The metropolis, they taking their blankets from them. So there was a lot that was happening, but we try as sweat as much, and but also we try to speak to our funders to change like some of the line items to buy data and airtime so that you can be connected. As you know, Gege, that at the beginning you said 158 sex workers. We do not have enough resources to cover every each sex worker in South Africa. So there is some of the sex workers who are still underground. We didn't able to reach during the COVID-19. That's why I'm posing a question from the government, that there's the issues that we always raise before the COVID-19, but the COVID-19 is taking more highlight how much is important of decriminalization of sex work. And we also, by connecting with sex workers and sharing the information online, we putting it in different ways, but also we help by the partners such as TPHIV, such as Triangle, such as Asichigi is the coalition that we have, is contain, have like more than 80 organizations where we network with them that support decriminalization of sex work. So we use the partnership, we use our allies to make sure that we put system that will respond for sex work. Unfortunately for justice, we do not have at all more support on legal issues, like to taking forward the justice. We call it for calling for justice. That was a little bit of the behind, but we did manage to collect some of the legal issues that sex workers were facing during the COVID-19. So there is a lot that was happening in the vulnerable groups during the COVID-19, because I don't want to take it out the LGBTQI because also they were going through a lot, and we have sex workers who are LGBTQI, and we work together and we formalize different groups. We formalize a lot of platforms where we're sharing what the experience look like now during the COVID-19, and we get different support, and we trying by all means to fundraise. Unfortunately, we try by much for DSD, that means sexual development, but actually we didn't get any lucky from them and any lucky from the government to respond in our questions, to respond of why they didn't put them in the plan. What is the plan for now? There's nothing that was a response from the government side. But from the partners and allies, there was a lot of response in terms of make sure that sex workers, they are healthy and they are keep going even in the struggle. Those who going through them, because this is it was like for sex workers, it was like more stress and pressure of being sitting in the one place and not doing anything and not making money. And you know, life needs money. Those are the things that we're putting together. We try different things and we're trying to put all the system in place, even though we couldn't somehow to reach. But the stigma and discrimination, the dying of sex workers, the violation, they were increasing numbers during the COVID-19.
Very tragic circumstances, and indeed a damning indictment on the lack of action being taken by law enforcement to address the serious claims of a violation against LGBTQI bodies within the sex worker community. Mm-hmm. Now, finally from us, you mentioned at the top of our discussion that SWET's agenda has always been towards the decriminalization of sex work. And this has been the agenda for years, and little to almost no progress has been made. And you also mentioned earlier that sex workers bring complaints to police, policemen to report cases of GBV. Those claims are either dismissed or laughed off. They are not addressed with the seriousness that they need to be addressed. And most decide not to complain to the police for fear of repercussions. Can you please take us through how all of this affects them emotionally and the ways in which SWET has gone out of their way to take care of the sex workers that they work with emotionally?
They are, yes, they did indeed that the COVID, it make a lot of their emotions are very, very not stable, because they sitting on the pressure of they must get food, there is a lot that, but physically and emotions for sex workers now we're going to level one, and when we come back and putting things normal where we meet sex workers, we need to put a system where we're starting from the emotional and dealing with psychologically so that we can start a new phase. We know that level one is not going to make us vanish in terms of what happened behind, but we need to put the place. So as right now, we're going to have to plan what is this a system to put in place so that we can support sex workers in terms of psychologically, psychosocial support, mental depress and pressure, how they can able to deal with that. Because when they go back to work now, they're going to have full of pressure to say they have, some of them, they have to pay for 4 months for funeral covers. So there's too much pressure that they're going to deal with to make money, to make sure that by the end of December, the children, everything, they are behind of all of the stuff that can put lots and more pressure to them. So I think that for us as SWET, we're going to put a proper system to support them from there. Even though during the lockdown, we were having like online support, because we have a helpline that is operating 24/7 at SWET. So sex workers, they were calling the helpline where they is operating by the sex workers who are counselors, professional counselors, and so the coordinator of there has studies on social workers. So some of them, they going through with the process of helpline, but if we need more, we will referral through our partnership. But now we're going to have face to face whereby everyone will be talking their experience and the pain phone. That is not, they will never forget it. That means that we need more psychologists to come and volunteer, more people who are counselors to come and volunteer, but more support system that we can refer sex workers into another partnership to go through their emotions that was happening during the and I don't want to lie to you that the pressure that's going to be happen to them to fix what is break by the COVID-19. When I'm talking about sex workers, they're going to start looking for the place to stay. Again, those who are renting and they've been chased away by the landlord. Sex workers, they're going to pay back the funeral covers that they owe. Sex workers, they're going to pay their accounts, those who have accounts. Sex workers, they have to buy food as much because the way that we were buying them, the coupons were not affording. But also they will catch up with their children in terms of clothing. They didn't buy the winter clothes for their children. Those sex workers who give in bed, they're going to start again now to buy their children clothes. There is a lot of pressure that sex workers are coming out from the level one. And we are there for them that we're going to put place as much as we can as sweats to make sure that we support them from the beginning and go with them slowly by surely. But doesn't mean that can going to stop us to saying that we want decriminalization. We don't want another disaster to come. We don't have decriminalization. We need decriminalization. But also we're going to put pressure for those cases that we have and plus another cases that are pending to be prosecuted and make sure that government play a part on that and also advocating for justice for sex workers. We're not going to stop. We're going to do as much as we can that by 2024, we are ready for a full decriminalization of sex work. You might be lucky to get it before, but I don't have hope for it. But yeah, we'll carry on. Life goes on, but we cannot take it easy like that. Just say, life goes on. People are very angry. Sex workers are very angry for government what come up after this disaster. Even myself, as I work for sweat, for me, psychologically, emotionally, even physical, for me, myself, I work, but for them, I felt like it's a huge that government also caused during the COVID-19. He was supposed to play a big role is to sex workers. Yeah, I'm very, when I come to emotional, I felt because I take as I work for sweat, but the way that I felt like as a sex worker, I put my icons, Namia Dija, the experience that sex workers went through during the COVID-19. I was felt like government failed sex workers, justice failed sex workers. I think South Africa as a whole, I don't see constitution, what a use of constitution, what a use of Bill of Rights, what a use of progressive country if there is still people who left behind. I feel like it's ignorance. They pushing away sex workers. But I don't, yeah, this is how I feel. Yeah, well, we'll not stop shouting.
Indeed, nor should you stop shouting, Sister Tutu. This is a very tragic subject, one that I can't believe we are still trying to get people to be sensitized towards in the year 2020. Nonetheless, sex workers all across the country still face a plight that has only been exacerbated by the consequences of the COVID-19 pandemic. We have just been joined here on the COVID Report by two ladies from SWET, which stands for Sex Worker Education and Advocacy Task Force, the advocacy manager, Ms. Duduzile Dlamini, as as well as the advocacy officer, Ms. Kholiso Atiki, here on the show to talk us through the exact extent of the plight faced by sex workers during this pandemic. Thank you so much for joining us here on the show, and thank you for the eye-opening insight that you've given us into this realm of existence. And I sincerely hope that conversations like this can inspire the change that we are all so desperately in need of. So again, thank you so much for joining us on the show, Sis Tutu.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, and I wish like all the listeners, they can feel how sex workers feel. They can support sex workers, and they can respect sex workers as hard workers, as human, as sisters and mothers and breadwinners. Those sex workers are human beings. I also hoping that to prepare for 2024, all of the community will, that time they will be really understand and taking sex workers as serious and recognize them as humans.
I think we can all agree this is a matter that absolutely deserves the noise to be amplified and for the conversations to be had. A big thank you to our guests on the COVID Report at this time, representing the Sex Worker Education and Advocacy Task Force, or SWET in short, Advocacy Officer Kholiso Atiki, as well as Advocacy Manager Duduzile Dlamini, taking us through the plight of sex workers over the course of the pandemic and the ways in which so much more needs to be done to balance the scales.
This podcast was brought to you by Voice of Vids. By Voice of Vids. To hear more of our shows, tune in to 88.1 or streams by www.vofm.co.za.